Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And by the way, this is not flu, okay? It's literally just my throat. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Calm, oh, this picture looks nice. Calm seas don't make good sailors. Calm seas don't make good sailors. I asked Trisha if she knew that saying. She said no, so I'm assuming it's not an English saying. Have you ever heard that? Calm seas don't make good sailors. Some did? Yeah. In Brazil, it's very, very famous. I usually say that when people are criticizing me. Oh, calm seas don't make good sailors. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We all know this story. One of the most famous stories of the Bible. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." I really need you to pay attention to this affirmation here. Let's go to the other side. Okay, this is an affirmation. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Praise God. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we know this passage very well, and we don't want to learn nothing new. We want to learn what we already know. You are faithful, you are in the boat, and we can rest assured that you have the control. We ask this in Jesus' name. Speak to our hearts. Amen. Amen. Church, two important things before we start. First one I already mentioned to you. There is an affirmation here. We will go to the other side. We will get there. Okay? And the second thing I really need you to know is, let us talk about the storm very, very quickly. Let me see the next slide. Three characteristics of a storm, church. You're going to agree with me. It comes to everyone. The storm did not select who it would come to. Jesus, you are too holy. You have no storm. Disciples, you are not that holy. Storm comes to you. No. The storm came to Jesus, the perfect, to the disciples, even to Judas. No matter who they were, the storm came to all of them. Storms come for all of us. Young, elderly, rich, poor, Canada, Brazil, storms come to all of us. Secondly, storms are sudden. Nobody, church, wakes up and the first thing they think in the morning is, how can I bring trouble to my life? Nobody. We wake up, you want to eat well, you want to have your morning devotional, and you want the day to go nice. But then, suddenly, storms come. That's the way it happens. And the third thing it is, storms are out of control. What do I mean by that? Yes, you try to do things, but you can't control the storm. The disciples control the boat, stirring buckets, let us empty the flooded boat. Don't wake up, Jesus, we can handle this. Manpower. They tried everything, and that's what we do as well. However, the storm itself, they can't control. It is out of their capability. That's what happens to us. Storms come to all of us. Storms are suddenly, we are not expecting it, and they come. And storms go beyond our control. So, with that being said, this text is very easy. Very easy. Why? There is three questions in the text. The first one the disciples make. The second one Jesus asks the question. And the third one is the question among the disciples. And if we tackle those questions, we tackle the text. And we learn from the text. Pay attention to the first question that the disciples asks. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? This is verse 38. As a student of the Bible, church, I can guarantee you this is one of the most saddest, hyper, bigger, sad questions of the Bible. You want to know why? Obviously, Jesus cares for us. He died on the cross for us. He cares for us. Why are the disciples asking, Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, why are you not doing anything? Why are the disciples asking such a kind of question? There is a few reasons why. The first reason why, church, it is the why me. Do you know that feeling? Why me? Why me? When we talk about storms, raise your hand if you know this name. Prophet Jonah. Do you remember he went through a storm? Like this one. But the difference is, we understand his storm. He was running away from God. So yes, you deserve that storm. We understand these storms to the non-believers. What does the non-believer do? They sow disobedience. What are they going to harvest? Storm. We understand those kind of storms. How about storms to people who are doing the right thing? The disciples. We are with Jesus. Jesus is in the boat. We just ministered. Wherever Jesus go, we are with him. Whatever Jesus asks us to do, we do it. Right now, Jesus is sleeping, and we are working over the clock so that this boat gets to the place he told us that this boat should get. Why storms to us? That's what the disciples cannot understand. Why us when we are doing the right things? That confuses them. That confuses us. Also, church, if you pay attention to the way they ask this question, it is an accusation in the form of question. Jesus, it sounds like you don't care about us. Jesus, it sounds like we're gonna perish and you will not do anything. But we just want to make sure we are not accusing you, so we put a question mark at the end. That's the way their questions sound. Jesus, we have the impression you're doing nothing. Is that true? And why do they have that kind of attitude? The question is not the problem. The attitude is the problem. They have that attitude, the church, because Jesus is in silence. There is a storm. The boat is sinking. They are about to lose everything, including their lives. And Jesus is silent. I don't know about you. Let us see this. Raise your hand if you prayed for a subject for 1 year and you did not see no response. Raise your hand for me. Okay. That same subject, 2 years. Raise your hand. 5 years. And you feel no response. Isn't that frustrating? Let us be honest. Very frustrating. We know the one we are praying to can do anything, but we don't see it. It looks like he's in silence. It really frustrates us. That's the cry of the apostles here. That's the way they feel. That's why the question sounds weird. Okay? But this question tells us nothing about Jesus. Jesus is perfect. This question tells us a lot about the disciples and about us. So now that we see ourselves, now that we put ourselves in the disciples' shoes, now let us see the second question of this text, which is the question of Jesus Christ, which is very important. The second question is, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? This is in verse 40. So let us, just before verse 40, let us see verse 39. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So the disciples woke up Jesus. The disciples asked the question to Jesus. Jesus stand up, and Jesus solved the storm. Jesus solved the problem. Good, beautiful. Now Jesus is going to teach us here. Why are you so afraid? Why don't you have faith? Church, we need to pay attention to this question because in our mind, this is the way we do things. Pay attention. Courage, positive. Fear is the opposite of courage. Faith, positive. What is the opposite of faith? Unbelief. Did you get that? Faith contrasts with unbelief. Courage contrasts with fear. That's the pattern. Look at what Jesus is doing. Jesus is mixing these two. Faith, it is in contrast with fear. He's mixing both of this. Why? He's telling you and I an element of faith that we need to know. Trust. When you don't trust Jesus, you get scared. That's what Jesus is saying. What is trust, church? Trust. It is you don't have all the information, but you believe the source. I'm going to say this again. You don't have all the information. You have some information, but you believe the source. If you have no information and you trust, that's not faith. That's ignorance. That's blind faith. That's irresponsibility. But we have small information from the right source, you can trust. Are you following me? I know this may get a little bit confused. Are you following me? Little information from the right source. Illustration. Raise your hand if you're like me. Who is afraid of skies and heights and airplanes? And the CN Tower. Have you been to the CN Tower and see the glass floor? Ugh. No good, no good, no good. Church, as I always fly, I mean, not always fly that I'm rich, in my life as I have flew, when I lacked information, I was so anxious. Very anxious, every flight, very anxious the night of. It was the moment I would pray the most. God, don't let this plane crash. Please don't. And I had to deal with my fear. And you know what I did do? I went to the Google, internet. And I did a simple question. Why I should not be afraid of flying? And then they give me one statistic. Well, you have 5 crashes in the year on the airplane. Thousands and thousands of flights. Every day you have crashed on the 401. Statistically speaking, you are safer there in Air Canada, even though they're trying to make a strike. You're still safer there rather than you are in the 401. I don't know everything about flight. I have no idea about engines. I don't know anything. A small piece of information that it's true gave me peace. Do you understand the contrast Jesus is making here? Faith and fear. Why? He gave the disciples a small piece of information. We're gonna get to the other side. But now the disciples are loaded with the wrong information. The winds, the waves, water in the boat, Jesus is sleeping, we're all gonna die. All of that speaks louder than the small information Jesus gave them. And that's when we need trust. We don't have all the information, absolutely. And let me tell you the truth, we will never have all the information. Can you say amen if you know that? We will never, no matter how old, wise, nothing. We will never have all the information. But we can trust the source. We can trust our Jesus. That's why faith over fear. There is another thing here with your Bible open. Read chapter 5, verse 1, because this is the destination here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 says what? They, the disciples, went across the lake to the region of the... Okay, I need you here. What's that word? Gerasenes. Okay, thank you. To the region of the Gerasenes. Okay, now let us back to the text. The disciples are confused. The disciples are afraid. The disciples are not trusting Jesus. This is another piece of information that it's important here, church. The disciples are not in agreement with the direction the boat is going. They are not in agreement with the journey. They are in the journey, but they don't agree with the journey. Let me tell you why. The disciples like to be in Israel. We can do ministry here with our own people forever. The Pharisees want to kill us, it's okay. The Sadducees want to kill us, it's okay. The religious leaders want to kill us, it's okay. But don't take our boat to Gerasene. We have never stepped there. That's pagan nation. That's not our people. We don't want to be there. Now think with me, church. You don't like the journey. You don't agree with the mission. But you're about to die because of that mission. I think you are willing to die for things you love and you agree. But to die for things you don't agree with, it's kind of crazy, right? That's here why the disciples are so confused and they lack trust. And Jesus is organizing their thoughts. Trust me. I am greater than the storm. The mission is greater than the comfortable zone. Trust me. Faith over fear. And that leads us to the solution, to the last question. This question is beautiful. Who is this? Verse 41, once Jesus quieted the storm, look at what the disciples said. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Pay attention to this word here. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Look at me, church. They were afraid of the storm. Now they are terrified because everything is calm, because everything worked well, because the problem was solved. Isn't that interesting? It looks like the people in Egypt. Do you remember the people in Egypt? Slavery, slavery, slavery. Slavery is bad. God takes them to the desert. Give them everything. This is too good to be truth. I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to slavery. Because I'm terrified that everything is working well. Isn't that interesting? But this is not the Egyptians. Here, the disciples. This is good. Here is the solution, the goal of this sermon, of this trip, is to really arrange the feelings of the disciples. Before, the disciples were afraid of the storm. And because they were afraid of the storm, they can't see Jesus properly. Jesus, it looks like you don't care. Jesus, it looks like you're taking us to the wrong direction. Jesus, it looks like you made a mistake. That's the way they were thinking. Now they are terrified, but that's the good fear. The Bible calls it the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of understanding. The Bible calls it the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Who is this? They're asking this in awe, in reverence. They finally realize we are talking to the Creator. The Creator is in front of us. The God of Genesis, chapter 1, chapter 2, is in front of us. The Creator speaks and creation obeys. The Creator gives an order, and the winds and the waves obey Him, just like He did in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2. They are in awe. But there is something else here, church, which is a very great lesson for us. If you pay attention to verse 39, Mark uses a very special word there. He got up and rebuked the wind. That word rebuke, it's not the first time Mark uses this word. Mark actually uses this word quite often. And Mark uses this word to the demons. You know, when the demons start to make a show, the demons start to scream, the demons start to possess people, what does Jesus say to the demons? Quiet. He rebukes the demon. And what does the demon do? The demon slow down. Now, do you think this is coincidence that he's using this word, rebuke, to the creation? Do you think this is a coincidence? What Mark is teaching us here, if creation tries to rise up against the Creator, what does the Creator do? Rebuke. Quiet down. Stand still. Waves, wind, slow down. And obviously, church, I'm telling you this not because I'm talking about the wind and the waves, not because I'm talking about the wildfire that it's plunging our nation, not because I'm talking about the snowstorm, but because I'm talking about the creatures. What we have seen, it is the creature rising up against the Creator. It is the creature looking at the Bible and saying, this is a fairy tale. It is the creature looking to creation, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and saying, I don't believe it. I believe in crazy Darwin. I don't believe in the Bible. When creature rise up against the Creator, what does the Creator do? Be quiet. Be still. That's what Jesus did to the disciples. The first question the disciples asked, attitude. Jesus, you're not going to do anything? At the end, what are the questions about the disciples? In their proper place. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Totally change a question from the right heart. That's the lesson of this text. And I gave you a paper. I need you to take the paper in your hands. I know some of you have one paper for the couple. Right in the very first place, there is a part called conclusion, okay? And here on the screen, I have the conclusion for us. Oh, no problem. The conclusion I have, it's a lot of peace. P, okay? We have there 8 words that starts with the letter P. And this is on purpose. Obviously, I don't expect you to remember 8 words, obviously. No, nobody here is a computer machine. But what I can encourage you to do is that starting today, you go through 1 word per day. Next Sunday, you're going to go through the 8 words. And those 8 words will help you to remind the sermon throughout the week. Does that make sense? Go once per day, 1 word easily, and you're going to remember the sermon. Now, let us just go through all these 8 words. This is the conclusion. This is the 8 lessons we learn in this text in a very concise and practical way. First word there, let me speak with me so I know you're on the same place as me. Promise. Good. Let's go to the other side. Church, this all began with a promise. I know when we are in storms, we usually forget about the promises. I know the pain sometimes speaks louder than the promise. I know. But never forget, you have a promise. You will get to the other side. No matter what's the storm you're facing, there is a promise. Second letter, presence, not letter, second word, presence. Jesus is in the boat. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is in your heart. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is in you, and you are in Christ. You don't need to be afraid. His presence is with you. You're safe. Third word, peace. Jesus is at peace. Church, this is amazing. There is a storm outside. Jesus is at peace inside. I don't know about you. I know about me. Outside, everything's at peace. Oh, heap. Retirement fund. Job. Police on the streets. My house don't even need a fence. Everybody walks by the parsonage. Everything is peaceful in Whitby. Inside of me, I storm. Anxiety and struggles and overthinking and overthinking. And I need to take melatonin. Melatonin to sleep. Crazy, crazy, crazy. That's not good. Storms should be outside. Peace should be. So everything I said, do the opposite of who I am, okay? Amen. Good. Fourth word, power. Jesus has the power to solve all the issues. Church, he solved our greatest issue, hell, death, and sin. All the rest, he's going to solve. Fifth word, that's a hard one. I don't even know if it's English. This comes from the study term. It is teaching. Pedagogy or pedagogy. It is the idea that the great rabbi uses the storms to teach his disciples. Church, any teacher knows you can't have just theory. You also need practice. First theory, then practice. Jesus taught the parables. Now he's putting his disciples in the storm. Why? They want to make them strong. After this boat, after this journey, the disciples were never the same. That's why Jesus allows storms to come to our lives. He's making us stronger. Jesus is a good teacher. Next word, purpose. This says all. Boats are safe on the shore, but that's not where boats were meant to be. If you want a comfortable life, never put your boat on the sea. But let me tell you, you lost your soul. That's not what our lives were meant to be. Put the boat in the sea. There will be storms, but that's the place where we are, where we should be. Purpose. Next word, prayer. God acts on our prayers. Church, it is interesting. Jesus only acted when the disciples woke him up. I know they woke him up with attitude. I know it wasn't their best question. I know it wasn't their best prayer. But when they prayed, Jesus acted. God is sovereign. God can do everything. God doesn't need us. Amen, amen, amen. But that's not the way he chose to operate. He chose to operate through his church. He chose to operate through humans. He chose to operate. That's why he calls the church light and salt of the world. He chose to act as we pray and as we move. That's what this word here teaches us. God acts on our prayers. And the very last word, what it is? maybe the easiest lesson for us, the most practical lesson for us to learn here. Creation cannot rise up against the Creator. Every time you see people coming to this, trying to sit on the judgment seat and trying to look to scriptures, I don't agree with this. This is wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Church, creature will never be able to rise up against the creator. Never, never, never. What is the good and right position of the heart? Position of a disciple. Thy word is the truth. Amen. Let us stand on our feet. God, as we stand up on our feet, thank you because you are in our boat. As the old hymn says, trust and obey because there is no other way. Be still and know that you are God. You will be exalted among the nations in Canada, at Emmanuel, and also in our lives. We trust in you. Amen, amen, amen.